The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Two of the books, one to go. 60 minutes left of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We opened up Pandora's box again today with this whole never-ending LeBron Daryl Morey story.
This, by the way, I obviously have hour number three because I would have chosen this song.
I know you would have. And you know what he did?
Oh, you just missed the dance Joel did before you walked back into the studio.
How bad was it?
It was.
I'm going to isolate it. I'm going to talk to Brandon. I'm getting it.
Okay.
I got things I can talk to Brandon about, too, so you be careful.
Uh-oh.
Look, this is another one that you guys go crazy for.
Love it.
Okay. So we had been talking about this
sassy
issue that won't go away.
Oh, I like it. Sassy.
Talking about the LeBron.
All right, let's do it. Yeah.
So Joe wants to get in here.
Yeah.
So let's get him in here. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Yeah.
Sports.
Wrong show. Well, I mean, LeBron said that, you got to be careful about what you say and stuff like that when talking about Daryl Morey. Basically saying that, yeah, we have freedom of speech and all that other good stuff. As Americans, which is true, but you got to be careful about the ramifications that may come with it, because everyone may not like what you have to say, even though we are all free to say what we want, essentially. I just want to know if he felt the same way about Colin Kaepernick.
LeBron or Daryl?
LeBron. Was he saying the same thing to Colin Kaepernick? Like, hey, man, we got freedom of speech, but, people may not like this.
All right. Well, I will say this. Look, appreciate the call, Joe. I'm not on the LeBron bandwagon on this. I think he's absolutely wrong on all of his, everything he's tried to do damage control after his original statement. But I will say this. One has nothing to do with the other.
Right.
I mentioned him wearing the Kaepernick shirt, but that was the point of him making his social statements. But he's not going to tell Kaepernick not to protest because it's not going to affect his bottom line in the NBA. So one has nothing to do with the other in that regard. So I don't think you could draw that conclusion. Now, if you want to say, was his support of Kaepernick going to affect NBA sponsorships like it did the NFL and affect the owner's pocketbooks? If you want to draw that conclusion, okay. But just coming out and lashing out at Kaepernick the way he did Daryl Morey for speaking his piece, it's not the same.
It's not, and it's a shame because not that it takes away from anything he's done in the past. It just... going forward is going to give people a different perception of LeBron James, which is unfortunate because from the Trayvon Martin issues when he was with the Heat and they all wore their hoodies to practice and they did things to represent, to the Kaepernick thing, to the fact that he went with inner cities and built an entire school for the kids in Akron, to all the different things that he's been able to do and how outspoken he's been on a lot of issues. The fact of the matter is it's never a good look and it's never going to go your way when you make statements in which more people are out there trying to interpret what you meant for you than you yourself getting your point across from the get-go. And then after several people and multiple people have tried to say what he really meant was, on multiple occasions, you tried to correct it and it didn't, not only did it not make it better, it made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, his statements yesterday, I thought you should have just left it where it was and just said, you know what, I don't have any more comments. I said what I had to say, right, wrong, or indifferent. He's
too deep now. Like, he can tell all the normal beat writers that normally ask him questions to not ask those particular questions. When he starts going on the road and he starts seeing other media members, they're going to bring that question up.
You're bringing it, right?
He looked so uncomfortable yesterday.
It's going to be that way for a while.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, Barry, to what you just said. You can bang on Daryl Morey, which he's been trying to do over and over again, although he tries to soft sell it. But guess what? You should have followed his lead. The minute he said something that stirred it all up, you know what he did? He didn't say anything else. And then when he did say something, he just tried to almost apologize and say, hey, look, this is all I was trying to do. And that's it. And be done. But instead, you're going out in front of cameras and you're going out and asking for it. And then you're going out and trying to clarify. And it just throws more gas on the fire.
Has Maury tweeted since that tweet?
Nothing, I don't believe, since the one, it was two tweets that were basically trying to explain why he tweeted what he did.
Last tweet from Daryl Morey, October 6th. I've always appreciated the significant support our Chinese fans and sponsors have provided, this, that, and the other.
That might have been the second part of the two-part.
That was that was number two of a two-part tweet. But that was 10 days ago, and he hasn't tweeted since. People want to know, could the Daryl Morey thing affect free agents coming to Houston since some players lost money because of the China tweet he made? No. I don't believe that that'll have an effect one way or the other.
Money is money for the players.
Yeah, exactly.
And guess what? They don't have to see Daryl every day.
Yeah.
I will say this, that a lot of players are tainted and worried and not considered. And I know several in particular that have said, you can throw all the money in the world at me, but I'm not going to Houston because I'm a person, not an asset, and I will not be treated like one. Because there's a little bit to be read between the lines here and what LeBron's doing too. LeBron's never been, remember now, they were going to make that big push to try and bring him to Houston. He wouldn't even give him a meeting. There's some people that Daryl has just rubbed the wrong way. There's general managers, there's players. And some people think, hey, he's a go-getter and he's willing to make the tough decisions and the big trades and all he wants to do is win. And there's other people, and I can give you five right off the top of my hand that I know can't stand the way they were treated and how he does business because they believe in that family environment, that team environment, that whole we're going to stick together and go through everything good and bad together. And one year you're their main man, and the next year you're an asset that's going to bring back a couple of others.
I just don't – I was looking at this
article. I'm just being honest and telling you.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense. I mean, I could see that. But that's how the NBA is
moving. It just seems like LeBron's got a little bit of an axe to grind with him.
They better get used to it because Daryl Morey is kind of the money ball – version in the NBA that laid the groundwork in MLB on how to handle a franchise.
Les Alexander read that book. Daryl Morey was selling tickets in Boston.
Yeah.
And Les Alexander took a chance on a guy that he personally felt could be the new age and general managers and the money ball perspective for the NBA, and it has worked out. Say what you want and be critical of this move or that move, but overall, Les got a guy that has really taken it and run with it.
Doc Rivers came out and when asked about it too, and he said, I don't know. I didn't pay much attention to it other than what Morey said, and he was right in saying that, but there's consequences to every action as well. Then he came back and clarified, admit what he said was he was right in saying it, but tweeted through a Clipper spokesperson that he was talking about his freedom of speech. So he just wanted to clarify that.
This whole backtracking. And
I tell you what, the amount of power that the NBA has given China as a whole is pretty disgusting. I get it. You like your money. You're not. Nobody's going to go broke if they don't have China. Nobody's going to be in the poorhouse in the NBA if they don't have China. But I tell you what you're going to do is a lot of fringe NBA fans, a lot of fans that turn their back on the NFL because of Kaepernick are going to start doing the same thing to this sport if you continue to allow China to dictate your policies and the way you view things, and you're trying to tiptoe this line and say, well, he has the freedom of speech, but there's consequences, and we like our friends in China. At some point, the NBA is just going to have to come out and own the fact that China, as a country, and the way that it's run, is awful. And they need to just say, look, we do business with them. We don't agree with their politics, and if they choose not to do business with us because of that, we'll go somewhere else. It's pretty disgusting how they're letting China kind of dictate their
stances on
this.
It really is. I don't disagree with any part of what you just said. And having been on those trips and seeing what that true dictatorship is all about and the way they go about their business and the relationship that the league has with the government and the Chinese Basketball Association, which is Yao's baby now, and all the different relationships that are there, it's just a shame that they're trying to dilute and get so foggy about drawing a line in the sand. It's one thing to be business partners.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different and separate issue to be who you are and treat people how you do.
I'm not saying you can't do business with China.
Right.
What I'm saying is you can't let them dictate.
Don't be China's bitch.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it because we all buy products from China. We really don't have a ton of choices necessarily as the consumers. Remember back in the day when everything was made in Taiwan and then there was this big backlash over it and everything moved around and then, everything was made in America for a while and then it got cheaper to make it in China for people. So they do that. So I think that can happen again where when it was made in Taiwan and that shift changed, look, there's a lot of other countries that would love it if they could get the business that's in China right now. And I just think China needs to be careful too. You know, they need to be careful because I've already heard and read and seen where apparently companies and businesses are starting to pull out of China and finding other manufacturing avenues because of their human rights record. That's going to happen more and more, especially if it bubbles to the forefront like it has with the NBA.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, and just in a nutshell, to show you how they can do whatever they want over there is different than here. If a Chinese basketball team came to Houston, right, for say a week, could you ever foresee any time in which their team bus or buses would not only have a police escort, but would have, say, 45, they're going to NASA, would have all of 45 completely shut down of any automobile from the ramp and the path to get to the ramp, all completely blocked off of any automobile from the start of your journey on 45 all the way to League City and NASA Road 1 without a single car ever being seen?
Wow.
When we were in China with the Kings, not only just the team, but the team and their guests and everything like that were going to the Great Wall. We were told from the hotel people the Great Wall is a full-day excursion just to get there, and then once you get a couple hours in, and then just the path home. We got on buses. We were like, where's all the cars? Well, it's a normal weekday business day in the city. What's going on? The government, based on their orders, had a clear path and no automobile allowed anywhere near our buses, the feeder road entry to the highway, or the highway itself for a long, long stretch of highway.
Wow.
Not only just there, but there and back until we came back.
Wow.
It's crazy what that government does. And what it, like, we were sitting outside the Great Hall, which is what all the pictures see.
You mean the Great Wall.
Nope.
I'm just kidding.
From the Great Wall, that night we had an event Great Hall. But outside in front is where a lot of tourists take pictures. Ball? They have military personnel. And if you start clowning a little bit too much, they'll come right up to you. And they'll basically, that's not going to happen.
Wow. I don't like that. That's scary. By the way, apparently, I didn't see this tweet until you replied. But this Eric M. guy on Twitter tweeted at us. And since if you don't follow me, I don't see your tweets, Eric.
Right, yeah.
So if you can't take the time to follow me, why are you going to take the time to lash out at me?
He said,
Daryl Morey is, quote, the money ball of the NBA, LOL. What does he want to prove? That Nick's response is, why do you have to win to know analytics? The A's didn't win anything as well.
It's a great point.
Exactly. So, Eric, either follow me or don't tweet me.
How many rings does Billy Bean have? Exactly. And if you got to ask who Billy Bean is, you shouldn't have ever tweeted that.
Eric, get out of here, bud.
I mean, seriously.
Seven people. You couldn't have followed me, too?
I want Eric.
That's his followers.
He'll Google it. But I would bet that if you asked him straight out as soon as he tweeted that, who's Billy Bean?
Let's see. So Eric's tweeting us, but he doesn't follow us. Let's see who he follows. He follows the Astros and Justin Verlander. Sulin Demaria is a playmate from South Africa. All right. Eric's got a little freak in him. Dan Rather. Dr. Phil. What?
Today on Dr. Phil.
The Dr. Phil show account. Daddy Files. I don't even want to know. Eric, you might need to go, bro. I think the cops are on the way. If you're following Daddy Files, I don't know what that is. Caro Ortiz, who's a cam model. Barack Obama. The Dallas Cowboys. Will Kane. Oh, bro. Get out of here. Tiffany Capotelli. Beto O'Rourke. Texas Dem Girls. T-Pain. And a.k.a. Donald J. Trump.
He lives at home. He doesn't work. He watches Dr. Phil after soap proppers.
Oh, Eric.
And he has a type. That's what he's going to get. Occupy his time.
Eric, bro, you got
a great song, by the way.
Look, we appreciate you listening, man, but, bro, you out here following cam models. You got to at least follow Nick. He's a cam model. He'll show you his boobs in private.
I won't be in
producer
private.
Cam. He's got it right there.
Yeah, out there.
He'll give him a side boob on a Friday if it's hot outside. All right. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show rolls on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Way Back Wednesday. If you missed it, songs from the year 2009, the last time the New York Yankees.
We had a Yankees fan who did not appreciate our theme.
We have a couple others that have been chiming in yet.
No,
on the text line?
No.
He responded to the ESPN 97.5 tweet that I put out for the list. And he was like, can y'all list, what did he say? He said, can y'all
list all the songs top 27 all Billboard years of all songs 27 honor- World Series yeah. titles.
Or- that's such. That's the go-to argument for argument for Yankees fans. And granted, it's a pretty good argument. Yeah. But
ask him how many he was around for.
I don't know. I should
if
ask
you
him.
Bring up World Championships from the 1800s, you're a loser.
Well, that's for all 27. But at least.
But I'm just saying, like, even going back decades, no one cares. No one cares.
Well, but okay, but it's the same.
All right, Packers guy, don't take this personal.
No, because I wasn't even going to the Packer card. I'm saying around here because Cowboy fans still claim to be America's team.
And they need to stop.
And people start reminding them the last time they won one, let alone even got, you know, into the playoffs, except for it ended recently. But they also like to bring all that stuff back. But you can't, first of all, you can't erase the fact that they were a part of history with what they won. But obviously, fortunes have changed since then. When you think about it, I was thinking about from a retired number standpoint and just the most storied franchises in each sport. Whether you like it or not, the Celtics, and they won 16 before you even got, and a lot of those without ever getting a ring or a title.
But do you understand how different that the games were then versus now and why it doesn't matter?
Sure.
Dude, the Yankees won their first World Series in 1923.
But I'm not talking about.
Who cares?
But the fact that they made the run that they made, that the last one they won was in 09, is still pretty amazing. That they continue to be relevant and at least once a decade sniffed a World Series, that's really tough to do over a long stretch of time.
That's great. That's great. And there are franchises that seem to stay consistently good. But to sit here and beat your chest over 27 when one of them, several of them occurred in the 20s, come on, that's ridiculous. Like that would be like if as an Oilers fan I'm bringing up AFL championships. That's just asinine. And it's the but same. If you want to bring up Super Bowls from the 70s and the 80s, I'll give you that. That's not that long ago. It's still a completely different era of football. But to go back to the 1920s and talk about world championships, you're just desperate for attention. That's asinine.
I mean, they're still a part of the franchise's history. Not that you want to throw it in people's faces like you're the baddest man on the planet, but at the same time,
that's the equivalent of talking about how much I got laid in high school. That's a long time ago. That has nothing to do with now. I'm fat and old. That has nothing to do with then and now. That's stupid. Stop it, Yankee fan. You look ignorant when you do that.
We'll just leave it there.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way,
Packers have won like
shut up.
12 to 15 World Championships, as well as all the Super Bowls. I'm just letting you know.
By the way, Eric, I went to his account. He said, man, y'all are mean on Twitter. He's like, I followed y'all, but y'all are mean. I was like, we're just busting your balls. But I did go to his account. Now his followers went from 16 down to 10. He dropped all the cam whores. So,
did he really?
Yeah, and all the cam whores he's unfollowed. So good on you, Eric.
Mom was listening.
He unfollowed that daddy whatever account because it's not on here anymore. He did follow me and Joel, but he didn't follow Nick.
What's up with that, Eric?
I thought you liked cam whores. How did you not follow Nick?
I live stream and everything, bro.
Here.
Yeah. And then he followed Adam Schefter and Garrett Cole. So he's turning things around. He's a follower list that he can be proud of now, not a creepy one. But he said, man, y'all are mean. I was like, I was just busting your balls. Don't worry about it.
News of the day. Not big shocker here. Joe Maddon reached a deal to become the new manager of the Angels.
Yep.
So he'll be in your division for the foreseeable future.
And somebody wanted to know, does that affect Garrett Cole? And I don't sleep on that.
I think it's a positive.
Yeah, don't sleep on that. That's a good addition to the Angels. I mean, Joe Madden still has it. You don't just forget how to manage.
Championship manager.
Yep.
So, and you know who his number one disciple was for all those years? Davey Martinez, who just got the Nationals into the World Series. So whatever his theories, ideas, and game plans are, still they're still pretty relevant today. So he found another job, didn't take long, and now he's going to be in the Astros division with Mike Trout, trying to restructure and rebuild a team kind of more around his style of play, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
When I was ranting about the Yankees and their national championships, two people tweeted about Aggies.
They're not called national championships.
I mean the World Series, because two people tweeted me about or texted about the Aggies, quote, national championships. Yeah, that's stupid, too. You've never heard me come on these airwaves and say that the Texas Aggies have been national champions, because that's stupid. I wouldn't do that.
Dude, you were also a guy, like, remember when they put the Astros ring outside Minute Maid 2 years after the fact? You were the guy that was all over that. You're like, why are you guys still hanging your hats on a championship won 2 years ago?
Right. They're still wanting to give rings out. They've been doing it this year. It's in the past. Like, it was fun for that year. Let hang the banner. We can look at it when we're at Minute Maid. Let's all move on. It's ridiculous.
He responded again, and I'm going to give him credit. And this is what more people need to understand.
Who, Eric?
Yes. Eric said to you and me, you've made me reevaluate my life, sir, and I need to be a worthy suspect. Sorry, Nick. And he added you.
He did.
Suspects were like this, you imagine the kumbaya love we would have?
Let me tell you why I like Eric already, because he didn't take it personal.
Exactly
upset.
Right.
As a lot of folks would have been gotten their feelings hurt and got into their feelings when it was obviously just a joke.
You know they're mad when you go at them because of what they said on Twitter, and then they start texting instead of tweeting. Then that person is incredibly mad at you.
Super angry.
Yeah.
I like Eric. Eric's going to make a fine suspect.
And then the people that just like to nitpick.
Yeah.
Horn at Horn 1. Hey, Pac-Man Joel, the name of America's team has nothing to do with how many titles the Cowboys won. It was because of their notoriety and familiarity to TV audiences. Right, in the 60s. Okay? Mm. And the 70s. And you haven't sniffed it since then. That's why the Packers are America's team. We can just move on.
Somebody said, what's the point of winning championships if you can't brag about them? Brag about it that year. But then when there's a new champion, you don't go back and brag about something that happened 5 years ago. Guess what? Since the Astros were world champions.
Didn't they have a ring night the year after the Red Sox won it?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Since the Astros have been world champions, guess what? There's been a new world champion crowned. So while we enjoyed the World Series, and it was the best baseball moments of my life, Game 5, I'll never forget, greatest baseball game on the that I've ever seen played, period. I'm not dwelling on that. You're not going to hear me talking. To bring it up to Rangers fans would be asinine. The point of the championship is to celebrate that team in that year.
But I think also, to the point, even the previous point you were making is, as long as it's within, say, a 10-year span, it's okay to continue to remind people, look, we've won it in this period of time.
You understand a decade is a long time, though.
I didn't go back any further, Barry, but I could, because a lot of people do. Obviously, Cowboys fans do.
Well, yeah, Yankees fans obviously go back to 1923. We got 27.
Well, that's where it started, but the last one was 09.
Oh, 27 of them. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll play songs from the eras that you won your world championships. Hello, my baby. Hello, my asshole.
Wow! God, I was fired up early, and now you have just picked up.
I think Barry's on
this.
Cursed.
Oh. What'd you have, like a pot of coffee during the break? You're redder than your shirt now.
I can't believe I cursed on air like that.
That was great. That was a-hole. I kind of liked it.
I hate Yankees.
You've never said a-hole before. That was pretty good.
We got a half hour to go in this show. Nick and Joel tomorrow from the studio.
So embarrassed that I cursed. My apologies, Yankees fans. You're not a-holes. I mean, you are, but I shouldn't have said it. I should have just said a-holes.
LeBron James on line one calling for A.J. Hoffman and a quick suspension of Barry Laminack. We'll be back with the final half hour, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final half hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We've gotten ourselves back together, and we guarantee you for the next 28 and a half minutes, we're going to be just straight-laced and talking right to you. Right, Barry? How you doing over there, Chief?
I'm good. I got the spoon from Brewings. I'm going to try these Carolina wings. I had to ask, though. I was like, I don't think I've ever had Carolina wings from Brewings. Is this Carolina Reaper? She said, no, it's Carolina Gold. It's not as hot. I was like, yeah, because I can't. I'm not going to be like Trey up here. It tastes like a pantry. I'm not doing that. So this, I'm ready to try. And then Esme is so cute. Esme goes, oh, they have egg rolls. I was like, oh, they have egg rolls? And she goes, well, it's not Chinese egg rolls. It's Mexican egg rolls. I was like, those are taquitos.
So they're calling them fire sticks.
Yeah, but they're legit, whatever they are. That was the first thing I ate, and they are outstanding. And you grab celery.
Yeah. I got a doctor's appointment after this, and I got to make sure that everything is. I don't know what exactly they're going to be doing, so I don't know how much.
Got that crunchy-ass celery.
Nick, just to make him happy while he was mulling over what he was going to get all into, I just was crunching celery right in his ear. Right in his pot. He was so upset about it, too.
Awful. Awful. Awful.
Benedict Arnold in the studio, taking a chance to say hello to you, Nick. That's always fantastic. So that's always good to see Benedict Arnold in the studio.
Right.
Our resident trader, Jordan.
We got a text that said, did y'all talk about Springer's base running already?
Everybody else is pretty much exhausted.
I think that was really good.
Obviously.
Really smart.
Very intelligent play and a big part of why the Astros were able to tack on in that game. It was fantastic. I mean, the fact that, one, you got to go there.
Yeah.
If you missed it,
you have to go.
After the hit and run with Altuve, you got first and third. You got nobody out.
Brantley, the only place you really don't want to hit it, he hits it.
Yep.
Which is the first base.
Right. And so Springer's on a dead run on the way home. Now, it's really tough to do. And at first, it looked like he was just going to give himself up. So they're coming home. In order to avoid a double play, he just freezes.
Yep.
They're going to start. They're coming at him. And then he proceeds, and Altuve never slowed down.
He waved
Altuve. Great. Yeah, and he was waving,
said,
but he didn't have to because Altuve never stopped. But the fact of the matter was he stayed in the rundown long enough to get second and third and one out.
Yep.
And took them out of the double play situation where they had to walk Bregman and gave him a situation where a fly ball would still get you a run. Just a fantastic base running move by George.
Yeah, wasn't it a pass ball that got the run, though?
And that's what annoyed me, too.
Because the baseball gods
were alive last night.
Yeah, the pass ball got Altuve home. Brantley moves up to third, and then Gurriel.
But I'm just saying, you put yourself in the position to get another sack fly. But here's the other thing. I was so pissed off at that umpire because there should have been two pass balls. But you shouldn't have even needed a fly ball. Because of the fact that the first pass ball got by Sanchez and hit the home plate umpire in the chest protector and ricocheted forward back in front of the plate, where it would have been bouncing around in the cavernous area behind home plate, scoring at least one run.
Yeah.
And then thank goodness he bounced another one so that the Astros did get one. But I was, there was a little bit of a vocal moment in my house where I was like, get the hell out of the way!
I don't know who this person is on the text line, but I'm blocking them.
Sweet.
It says, isn't Barry the one who kept saying he was a champion after Coco won the camel race?
It's fact.
Get out of here.
Totally.
You're
fact.
Blocked. I am still and will always be the camel race champion.
Oh, you're a camel champion.
Yep. All right.
You are a world class humper.
Now this is true too. So see, that wasn't nice. Somebody said that the Patriots fans could probably do that because they're in the midst of a dynasty. And I'm with you on that. It's Tom Brady. This is the same cast.
Tom
Brady, the same cast of characters. Nice. Like, I do agree that if the Patriots fans want to brag about the Tom Brady Super Bowls in this era and just the pure dominance of the Patriots, that's one thing. But to go back to 2000?
But that's what I'm saying.
And brag about their 2000 Super Bowl?
I gave you a decade of 10 years. And if you're in that decade,
you can
talk about it.
Did you give me a decade of 12 years or a decade of 8 years?
you fought me on this when I said that if you can still brag about your Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying a 10-year bragging window. About the dominance, not the specific games. Not like if you're the Yankees, you count all 27 world titles. You brag about the Patriots being the most dominant
team. Salty against New York right now because they're playing the Stroke.
That could be too.
I think that's a part of it.
That could be too. Some guy said he's going to get a Twitter just to. Oh, Truck Driver Pookie said, I love y'all's show. That roast had Barry's roast had me dying. I think I'm just going to get Twitter just to follow y'all. I'll roast your Twitter too. If you ain't up to snuff.
Believe me, if there's one guy you don't have to ask twice.
Yeah, Barry will murder you.
He will absolutely have a no problem doing it. Not hold back.
I want to start doing that. We should bring that back. Remember that? What was it, like a week I just roasted everybody that requested it?
Yeah, I'm done. We'll bring that back.
Or their birthdays or whatever.
And then, after we had all of the.
I just got to be careful if I curse.
The keyboard warriors.
Yes.
That would, we had no way of knowing who they were, but they could see us and they were taking shots. And then we said, all right, tough guys, send your pictures. And then once you got the pictures, you just went right on a rolling.
That's good times.
Yeah, those.
Good times indeed.
All right. So Tyler wants to get in here and talk a little Strohs and Justin Verlander. Tyler, what's up?
What up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, what's up, man?
Good, man. Hey, I wanted to talk real quick. I meant to call in the other day and talk about it. I don't know if you guys noticed, and I think, Joel, you were the one that brought it up a while back, is Verlander is extremely, extremely paranoid and scared that people steal his signs or try to tip his pitches. He is a very, very private person, private pitcher, you know, tries to shake off a bunch of signs. But I feel like he might have intentionally been trying to throw off the Yankees or trying to allow them to tip his pitches and then changing his pitch. I don't know if you guys noticed, whenever Judge rounded the plate and said something to, I think it was Gary Sanchez, he might have just been trying to get in Verlander's head. Apparently it's known around the league that Verlander is like that. And Verlander took the ball in his hand and got his setup while it was clearly visible to anybody and everybody. Kept the ball in that hand, not in his glove. And one thing he did do in a 3-2 pitch situation, he tucked the ball away in his glove so he didn't give anything away unintentionally. But I was thinking that there is no way that Verlander is holding that ball wide open like that without trying to intentionally tip his signs and then switch up the pitch, maybe just to get in their head a little bit. Because whatever Judge said to Sanchez, he was obviously trying to make sure Verlander knew that, hey, I'm letting him know about your pitches.
Well, now, remember,
but you being I'm sorry?
I was going to say, remember, too, that's the same game where the picture or the video of Judge on the bench looking at
still
pictures.
Photos.
Yeah,
yep.
Still photos of Verlander's delivery side by side. You can clearly see it.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah,
that
I mean, they're obviously, they may have been on something and not just pretending.
Well, and on the flip side, let's not forget Bregman, when they got off to the hot start. In game two, when Bregman was it game two? When Bregman looked at everyone in the dugout and said, move up in the box. And then even Big Poppy was talking about the fact that he was going hitter by hitter. And even Correa, as he crossed the plate and Correa was going to the plate, he grabbed him by the shoulder and made sure that there was something that they had noticed. That was game. It was game five of the DS when they got off to the hot start in the first inning. And that's when the whole thing of the Astros had picked up on Glasnow tipping pitches. So, look, it's part of the game. It's gamesmanship.
It is.
And if Verlander did what he did, good for him, because it's right back at you, bud. I got your gamesmanship. Well, here, you look like I'm throwing a four-seamer. Guess what? Here's a slider or a changeup. And if he's able to catch it, and switch it, and it's effective, it's good. But Smoltz said, well, you know what? Gone are the days where you agree on the sign, but for location, a glove swipe on the thigh means you change it lower. And a glove,
right.
So you change it. How you change it? No, because it's too technologically advanced now. Now you've literally got people in the video room that are using the center field camera and watching every sign in terms of the indicator and all the signs on the bases, and all the pitch, you know, signs behind the plate. And it is gamesmanship, but it's important to a lot of teams.
Yeah, but you can change those up.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying the days of just sweeping your glove on and going, oh, well, that means, you know, change it from top to bottom or left.
Yeah, but
right.
You also have to guess what the number was, too, right. in that sequence as well. So
it's not that easy anymore.
But, yeah, there are plenty of intelligent folks sitting on that bench. That's all they're doing is watching that. So, and plenty of intelligent folks that are sitting at home thinking, where should I bet if I wanted to bet this year on football games, baseball games, or basketball? You do that with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the website. Go sign up, man. It's time. Football season is in full swing. There's plenty of data out there now for you to number crunch and start wagering. And a great place to do that is MyBookie. They have odds on every game, more prop bets than any sports book out there. And y'all, absolutely nobody pays you out faster. You get your cash when you want it, and that is super important in this industry. You can they've got parlays and teasers and everything else that most sports book have, but they've got the ability to bet after kickoff, which is amazing. And like I mentioned before, more prop bets than any other sports book out there. And look, you get paid, and that's super important. When we have listeners that are telling us they have $1,000 in their MyBookie account and had no problems getting that money out, I can't stress enough how awesome that is to hear and to know that MyBookie is going to get you your money back. And bet smart, be smart, and who you bet on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why I want you guys to go sign up with MyBookie right now. They're going to double your first deposit if you use promo code radio. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager as you wish on your favorite teams at MyBookie. All you got to do when you sign up is put in that promo code radio to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. Guys, it's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You pay, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Before we roll into that and get ready to turn you over to the Blitz, I do want to tell you about one more time the good people at Infuse Energy. If you're looking for a new energy provider, you're looking for someone local that's going to give you the best deal possible and also treat you like a human being and not just a statistic, you got to go to Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, they are doing a great job of making sure that you get treated like you deserve to be treated, like a trusted friend. They're never going to try and screw you over or pull the wool over your eyes. They're going to be 100% honest all the time, including the rare times that other companies can beat their rates and prices. I switched 3 years ago, and you should too. They've saved me thousands over my previous energy provider. All you got to do is go to infuseenergy.com, but better yet, call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you more questions than you ask them so they can pinpoint your best possible rate and deal, and they're going to set you up. That's the way they do it. If you mention ESPN 97.5, you even save $25 off your first bill. And they have a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get, and they got it. You're going to get treated right from start to finish and every time in between. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life.
Somebody had a Cowboys question for us, and that had nothing to do with old-ass championships that nobody needs to be talking about anymore. The question was, with the Cowboys losing to the Jets, how much money is Dak losing because he waited to sign? That was from JRay78.
I thought we kind of touched on this the other day, but maybe we didn't. But the first thing that I thought about when you were 3-0 against three really bad teams, and we had heard that obviously the top flight quarterbacks, you're in the 30 mil a year mark. And then they said he wanted 40. And at the time I thought, ooh. Because I'm not sold that he's still in that, you know, in that upper echelon. But the fact that, if you know, timing is everything. That you could get into a situation where you could get that money, especially for how many years you could get it. Why wouldn't you take that and at least make sure you're secure for all that time? Instead, while it looked good against bad teams that he was, you know, betting on himself and he looks like he was going to win big, these next three games happen. And boom, now you're in a really tough situation, because now if you're Jerry Jones, you might even be thinking, do I keep him or do I look elsewhere?
Yeah, that's the big issue is the worse that you play down the stretch or after that three games, then it starts to look bad where you're like, well, you know, there's definitely some free agents coming up. Some of them are old. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers.
Jameis.
Yeah, you got Jameis coming up.
Mariota.
No one cares about that. Bridgewater, who, you know, doing what he's been doing for the Saints.
Sure.
Is probably earning himself at least a sniff on the free agent market and not just immediately put to the back burner. But, you know, with Prescott out there, teams are going to have choices. Do you want to pay Dak Prescott, who's probably the best young quarterback on the market, or do you want to pay an aging vet or take a chance? Not that Drew Brees and Tom Brady are going anywhere, but Phillip Rivers is going to be 38 and an unrestricted free agent in 2020, and so is Eli Manning.
You think Dak's better than Jameis?
Eli Manning will be 39. I think Eli Manning, if he retires, is one thing. But there's a team, I think, that would take a flyer on Eli at least to be a backup.
I don't. They've seen enough of him in that. Oh, and maybe a backup. But I think enough teams have seen enough of Eli, especially a team in their own division, to say, yeah, he's not going to be a starter anymore.
Well, the market isn't there. There's not a ton. I mean, I think if you were going to rate, if you take Brees and Brady off the board, because I don't think they're going anywhere.
No, they're not.
I think you'd have to go probably Dak, Rivers, Winston, Bridgewater.
I don't think Phillip Rivers is going anywhere either. He's a California guy now, and he's got a boatload of kids.
That's true, but
and the whole family loves it there, and I get it. But you know what? They were supposed to win this year.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If they don't, and there's a team out there that feels like they're just a quarterback away.
Yeah, the Rams, and they have to deal with Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, that we established already.
Exactly. But you really, I asked you this while you were in the middle of that, sorry, but I wanted to get your opinion. Truly, when you said he's the best young quarterback of the list, you think Dak's better than Jameis?
I do.
Because Jameis put together three or four great games in a row, not just good games, put massive numbers and results up there, and then he regressed in the London game. And a lot of people will tell you, including players, that the London game is a tough deal from the travel and the lag and all the different practice conditions and all that other stuff. But he's quietly had a pretty good start to the year. And I know Bruce Arians doesn't want to let him go at the end of the year because he feels like he's got something he can work with. But I'd be interested to hear your opinion on between the two of them.
I think the problem for me with Jameis Winston is he's too up and down. He's not, at least Dak is consistent. Dak seems to be, I've always looked at him as more of a game manager, but he started out showing it and being impressive with some of the throws he was making. He was a lot more accurate downfield than I remembered him being or thought he was. And I don't know if he improved that in the offseason, but his downfield throws I thought were a lot better. And Winston has a great arm, but he's just not accurate and he's not consistent enough to warrant being considered an upper echelon quarterback. I pulled up the just real quick just to see how far apart they are in total QBR this year. It's not even close. Dak Prescott has the highest total QBR in the NFL at 81.8. Jameis Winston is 23rd with a 41.1. So well, when I mean, it goes
he
bad.
He had a crapper to start the year, and he had a bad game in London. But those games in between, he was pretty darn good.
You're talking about the Rams game? He threw for 385 against the Rams, four touchdowns, one interception.
Yes.
Okay, and then he had 380 against the Giants, and they lost that game, and he went for 3-1. He had 400 against Carolina, lost that game.
But I'm saying, but if whether you win or lost doesn't take away
well,
the
let
fact
me finish.
That
I wasn't done. The 400-yard game, he had one touchdown and five interceptions. So
but
you could
the
throw
other two
for 5,000
yards. You just
kind of
swept over, though. He had 3-1 and 3-1, right?
Yeah, 3-1 and 4-1.
There you go.
But that's two games out of six. That's what I'm saying. He's too inconsistent.
And I told you there were two games out of six. But let's see how he finishes the season. But to me, if you're looking for a franchise and saying you're a franchise that's considering one of these guys out there that I might bring in, of the two of them, I think if you just keep Jameis going on the path he's going with what he did in college and all these other things, I'm going to put Jameis above Dak. I might make Jameis Winston in a Cowboys offense with all the other weapons he has around him and a running game.
I think you're crazy if you were to take Jameis Winston over Dak Prescott to be a franchise quarterback. He's at 12-10 right
here's
now.
Here's the thing. I don't think that either one of them should be.
He's at 12-10.
I don't think either one of them should be.
Touchdowns and interceptions.
Because I'm not a – I'm just – look, I think you're right. I think Dak's a good game manager. But I don't think Dak is a guy that's going to be a franchise quarterback worthy of 30-some million a year.
He's going to get about 30.
I'm not saying he's not going to get it. I personally don't feel like he's worth it.
Okay. I mean, I guess I don't necessarily agree with you.
It's like the Kirk Cousins factor. He's going to get his money.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you from a standpoint of being elite and getting elite quarterback money. But I think you have to put him in that next tier until he proves.
I'm with that.
Because, you know, a lot of people make the case when I was crapping on Dak about the money and where he should be, that down the stretch, once he had a weapon in Amari Cooper, he played a lot better. But he's been a little more inconsistent this year after that start. So I don't know what to make of Dak Prescott. I just know that if you watch the two, I feel like game in and game out, he seems to be more consistent. Not as flashy, doesn't show signs of his ceiling being as high as Jameis Winston, but Jameis
no game manager is worth $30-some million a year in my mind.
All right, but I'm still thinking I would pay him over Jameis Winston for as a franchise QB.
Okay.
And if the market says 30, then you're going to have to pay him 30. But would you rather pay Dak or Jameis? That's the question. Who would you rather pay that 30 mil to? And for me, I'd rather pay Dak.
Neither.
Well, that's probably
I'd like
true
to pass.
Too.
And not just the football. I just pass on that one.
Let me see on SpotTrack. SpotTrack has, okay, here you go. So Dak Prescott, his contract, SpotTrack has his value, his market value. And this is based on his comparisons. So they run comparables and his contracts and statistics and so forth. They have Dak Prescott's market value at $32.9 million. So $33
million. He's going to get it.
They have Jameis Winston's market value based on the same principles of figuring it out at $23.4
million. Doesn't
surprise me. But
the terms of ability and upside and potential to really get higher than that game manager level, I think there's more potential in Jameis than I see in Dak.
Okay. I mean, I guess I disagree.
I think Tampa's, and you know what? I believe so much so that Tampa's not going to let him walk.
I think the question really becomes, I think Tampa lets him walk.
I don't think so. Oh. We'll see. Bruce Arians didn't come there to start completely over, and he likes what he's seen so far in Jameis. We'll see what happens, but we'll check back on this.
Yeah, we'll check back. Write that down, Nick. We have a bet. No, that's not really
Let's just look at the NFC North.
Here's the real question. It's not about do you think Dak is better than Jameis or Jameis better than Dak. Mm-hmm. At this point, knowing what their market values are, it's about value. Right. Is Jameis a better value at 23
Hell
than
yeah,
Dak
is
at 33?
I believe
now,
so.
That I might agree with. But if you were talking close to even money, if you were going to pay...
I'm not paying either one of them 32 and a half or whatever you said.
But I'm saying, let's just assume for a minute that that's what the market bared, is that both of them are $30 million quarterbacks. I'd rather give the 30 to Dak than Jameis, but I would much rather give Jameis 23 than Dak 33. If that makes sense.
Because Dak brought the crab legs?
See.
Just asking. All right, that wraps up a Way Back Wednesday. Willy.
What the hell happened there? Waps up?
What? You want to talk about what people said during the show today? Okay, that's what I thought. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Y'all have a great night, everybody. Hey, the Blitz is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
That boom.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.